First of all, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, Dan Freeman, you apparently asked some Senate staffer regarding the nomination of Chuck Hagel if critics on the Hill had received lists of groups that might be perceived as hostile to Israel.
Well, not a list per se, but there were rumors that he had spoken to groups that could prove controversial. 25 Republican senators, or 26, had sent a letter to Hagel asking him if he had received in any way foreign funds from foreign governments or foreign groups. So what I asked this, a few people questions that were attempting to get at if they actually knew, these senators actually knew of speeches that were controversial, that might be controversial, that he had given for money to any group. And in attempting to illustrate what I meant to one person, I used the name Friends of Hamas as a hypothetical, I thought, fictional, ridiculous-sounding example of the kind of group that critics of Hagel would find instantly objectionable and controversial.
Let me try to get a sense of the context. So you said to this Senate staffer, what are you looking for? A speech that he might have given to a group, say, Friends of Hamas, that sort of thing?
Friends of Hamas, the Junior League of Hezbollah, something wildly controversial sounding that I thought didn't sound like an actual group.
And what was the response of this Senate staffer?
He said that he would look into not that per se, but he would look into my question about whether he had talked to controversial groups, which, again, I had tried to illustrate by making up a goofy sounding, really controversial fictional name for a hypothetical group. And that was the last—he didn't get back to me, and that was the last that I heard from him on that topic.
But you did send an email that said, quote, did he get, referring to Hagel, $25K speaking fee from Friends of Hamas? And that, it doesn't say in the sentence, was the obviously made-up group Friends of Hamas. It just says Friends of Hamas.
And it really should have. So that was my mistake. I had just talked to him, and I thought that it was understood that that was a hypothetical. I also assumed that the entire conversation, that he wouldn't pass along what I was asking to other reporters. That's a standard agreement that certainly I enjoyed with this particular person among reporters and spokesmen or any aides that they're talking to. Obviously, in retrospect, I wish I had said, you know, with giant flags and asterisks and everything else attached, of course, this is not a real thing.
Well, what happened next is unknown to you, but shortly thereafter, 40,000 Twitter followers of a reporter named Ben Shapiro were able to read a story that suggested that some in the Senate had actually some evidence that Chuck Hagel had spoken to a group called Friends of Hamas and that the White House was refusing to respond to those questions, right?
Right. So it seems clear that with a bit of a cavalier question to a person that I had dealt with before, that I sort of threw into this feedback loop of reporters and spokesmen and aides and conservative pundits a rumor that somehow got bounced around and came back sort of laundered, if you will, like it was a real thing or real enough for some people to publish.
Do you think Ben Shapiro took your Friends of Hamas reference from some conversation you had and ran with it himself, calling the White House and getting a hang up and turning that into a story?
I spoke to Ben. It does seem clear that what I said to me, he disagrees, that what I said somehow made its way to him. And then in using additionally the fact that the White House just hung up on him when he called them, that became a story for him. He says that he didn't say there is a Friends of Hamas because there isn't. Rather, just that he had spoken to one person who said that they had heard that this might be a possibility. Ben Shapiro told me that he spoke to one source, not sources. And there's a standard thing that some reporters do, which is evident here, where when they talk, they make source into sources as if those are synonyms. You know, what this illustrates is that it's very easy for these things to get out there. And I certainly have some culpability in this, although more inadvertent.
What do you think your culpability is?
Well, I obviously, in retrospect, should have been, I would say, more careful in making sure that the person that one, the person understood that that wasn't an actual group. I thought that was obvious. And two, that the person wasn't going to repeat that. I also thought that was obvious, but neither was obvious because neither happened.
What if the scenario, though, is you actually having a chummy conversation with this Republican staffer going, wow, wouldn't it be wild if we nailed him with speaking to friends of Hamas? And that got him.
Well, I would say that it was a friendly, casual conversation. I didn't say, wow, wouldn't it be wild? I was using hyperbole and humor to try to illustrate what I was asking about. But I think somebody could see this and think that it was an overly chummy conversation, and there's a decent argument for that.
So you would be very uncomfortable if there was a transcript kicking around the internet that actually showed the conversation that you had with this Senate staffer, thinking in retrospect now.
No, I wouldn't be that uncomfortable because I tried to be fairly forthright in explaining what happened, and I hope that it comes off as candid in the sense that I'm not claiming that it was a ideal, journalism school conversation. I thought this was funny, and I do want to make sure that I'm sort of clear. I was doing my job, and I didn't do anything real inappropriate. I it's just that looking back, it wasn't ideal.
Dan Friedman, a reporter from the Daily News in the Washington Bureau, thanks so much.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.